Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we really dive deep into the stuff you're curious about.
Right.
Today, we're tackling a question that's, well, kind of spooky, to be honest. Could civilization as we know it, like, actually end?
Yeah, it's a question that's fascinated people for ages, historians, philosophers, even scientists. And the interesting thing is, by looking at past societal collapses, those pandemics, even those nail-biting moments like the Cuban Missile Crisis, we actually start to understand not just the threats out there, but also how resilient humans can be bouncing back from crazy stuff.
Now, the stuff you sent over, it definitely leans towards the, I don't know what to call it, the doom scrolling side of things. But there's this interesting thread throughout about, well, resilience, about humans overcoming even when it seems impossible.
Absolutely. That's key here. It's not about being all doom and gloom, right? It's
Yeah.
about seeing the patterns in history, the ups and downs, and what those patterns might mean for us now.
Okay, so let's dive into this toughness thing. One of the first things that jumped out at me from your sources. Does going through tough times actually make tougher people? And if so, are those tougher folks better at handling future problems?
Man, that's a question with a long history. It's often framed as that nature versus nurture debate, but like, on a societal level, one source uses Andrew Mellon as an example, the Treasury Secretary during the Great Depression. Mellon thought that the hardship, while awful, would kind of cleanse society. He said it would purge the rottenness and lead to a more moral, hardworking population.
Purge the rottenness. Intense. Makes you wonder what people back then actually thought. Could they see any good coming out of all that suffering?
It's hard to say, really, and it's important to remember that everyone experiences hardship differently. What one person sees as a test, another might see as, well, totally crushing. But Mellon's view, while controversial, points to something that comes up a lot in history. The idea that when things are easy, societies get complacent, maybe even vulnerable to threats from inside or out.
Makes sense. Like that saying, what doesn't kill you? But sometimes it just kills you, right? Thinking about those ancient civilizations, the Medes, I think it was, they got too comfy with their wealth and power, and bam, conquered by the Persians.
Exactly. History is full of empires that rose up through strength and discipline, only to crumble under their own success later on. This toughness thing, it's not just about being big and strong, it's about facing hardship head on, adapting to change, not just getting, complacent.
So it's less about being warrior-like. Like those Spartans, and more about a certain mindset, a national grit, maybe. Speaking of Spartans, their way of building toughness was intense, to say the least.
That's putting it mildly. The sources describe how those Spartan boys, they started training crazy young, taken from their families at 7 years old, put through these brutal challenges, even deprived on purpose, all to make them into warriors.
Man, it's hard to imagine growing up like that. Sounds more like, I don't know, special forces training than raising kids. Makes you wonder, though, about the effects of that system in the long run. Did it make them more resilient, or did it have a downside?
That's something historians are still debating. And we have to acknowledge things that seem abusive now were pretty common throughout history. For example, the sources mention using alcohol and opium for kids' pain relief. Imagine that today.
Whoa. Yeah, that's eye-opening.
Me.
We forget that what's considered good parenting changes a lot over time. What we do now might seem barbaric in the future.
Exactly. It's called presentism, judging the past by today's standards. It's important to think about what was right and wrong, but we can't force our own values onto people who lived in completely different situations.
Like trying to understand another culture without knowing anything about their history or beliefs, it's easy to think, well, we do it this way now, so they must have been doing it wrong.
Right. Understanding the context of history is so important as we dig into these sources, especially those moments when societies faced huge threats, pandemics, natural disasters, and of course, wars.
Speaking of context, let's talk about child labor for a sec. It's crazy how normal it was for kids to work in factories, mines, super dangerous places. Parents today would freak out.
Absolutely. The sources definitely talk about how child labor was exploitative, especially during the Industrial Revolution. Kids, mostly poor, working in those awful conditions. But remember, for most of history, kids were part of the workforce, especially within their families, like apprenticeships. They often started young, right? But they taught you valuable skills. Or think about farming communities where everyone, even kids, had to pitch in to, put food on the table.
Right. It's easy to forget that childhood, as we know it, is a pretty new idea. For a long time, it wasn't about playing, it was about survival, the whole family.
Exactly. And this goes back to that toughness idea. If tough conditions were normal for most of history, What does our comfy modern life mean for future generations? Are we making them soft, unable to handle big challenges?
Now that's a thought, isn't it? We'll definitely come back to that. But for now, I want to shift gears to maybe the most intense example of a society falling apart, the collapse of the Bronze Age.
Oh, yeah. That one still has historians scratching their heads. It's a real-life mystery. Imagine a whole civilization as advanced as ours with cities, trade, even writing, and then P.O. gone in a few generations. That's the Bronze Age collapse.
Like some dystopian movie, except it really happened, and it happened fast. It wasn't a slow decline, it just unraveled across huge areas, tons of civilizations just gone.
And just like a good mystery, there's a bunch of suspects. The sources mention a whole bunch of things, each more interesting than the last. We've got those mysterious sea peoples who just wreck everything around the Mediterranean, smashing up settlements, ruining trade. Were they invaders? Refugees running from something even worse? Nobody knows for sure.
Like putting together a puzzle, but with half the pieces missing. We have clues, like those Egyptian records talking about the sea peoples. Like they're terrifying, but where they came from, what they wanted, who knows?
And then you've got natural disasters thrown in the mix. The sources mention earthquakes, volcanoes erupting, maybe even climate change, any of which could have been devastating. Imagine a huge volcanic eruption like Thera, what we call Santorini today. Ash clouds, tsunamis, messing up the climate all over. Agriculture, trade, everything gets disrupted. Societies start falling apart.
Wow. It makes you realize how connected everything is, even thousands of years ago. One day you're a Bronze Age city doing your thing, the next you're dealing with the fallout from a volcano halfway across the world.
Exactly. And that connection, that's a theme throughout history. Societies aren't isolated. They're all part of these big systems, natural and man-made. And when those systems get messed with, there are consequences. Which brings us to another suspect in the Bronze Age case, climate change, and how it might have made those societies even more vulnerable.
So we've got possible invaders, natural disasters, and now climate change on top of it all. The Bronze Age had it rough. But was there anything going on internally that might have contributed?
Oh, absolutely. The sources suggest internal struggles. Too many people, not enough resources. Those probably played a part. Imagine a society dealing with a drought that just won't quit. Crops failing because the climate's messed up. Famine hits. People get restless. They start fighting over what's left. That's a recipe for disaster. Makes them easy to conquer.
Sobering thought, isn't it? Even a civilization with all its fancy tech and organization, it can still get pushed over the edge by pressure from outside and weakness from within.
Shows how fragile we are, even when we're at our most powerful. Which brings us to another turning point in history, from the ancient world to the 20th century, the atomic bomb and all the anxiety that came with it.
Talk about a game changer. The A-bomb wasn't just a new weapon, it was a whole new way of thinking about war, peace. Even if humanity would survive at all.
For sure. The sources do a great job capturing how people reacted to this, like existential threat. On the one hand, you have this pure terror, knowing we could wipe ourselves out. It's like all those post-apocalyptic stories, right? The world, a wasteland, haunted by what we did. That fear, it got into everything.
Those images, they stick with you. This chilling reminder that we're capable of destroying ourselves.
And yet, mixed with the fear, there was this sense of awe. We had stepped into this unknown territory, dealing with forces we didn't really understand. That mix of fear and fascination, that's what makes the Atomic Age so interesting to look at.
It's like staring into this abyss, but not being able to look away, trying to wrap your head around it all. Speaking of wrapping our heads around things, how did governments react? Did they get it right away, how big this all was, or does it take a while?
It was a steep learning curve, I'll tell you that. The sources talk about all this debate, strategizing, and honestly, a lot of confusion. This wasn't just a bigger gun, it could wipe out whole cities in a flash. It forced everyone to rethink what war even meant.
Can't imagine the pressure those in charge must have felt. Their decisions weren't just about winning, they were about making sure anyone survived at all. High stakes, to say the least.
Absolutely. And that's when these new thinkers emerged, the defense intellectuals, as they're called. Brilliant people, scientists, mathematicians, even game theorists trying to figure out how to fight a war that had never been fought before, where losing meant the end of everything.
So instead of generals, you had physicists with slide rules trying to outsmart the apocalypse.
Yeah,
That's kind of
it
wild.
was a wild time. This incredible collaboration, all driven by the very real threat of nuclear annihilation. These defense intellectuals came up with things like deterrence theory. Basically, it said the only way to stop a nuclear war was to make it so horrible that nobody in their right mind would ever start one.
So the way to prevent total destruction is to constantly remind everyone how close we are to it. Comforting. And that takes us to those moments during the Cold War when it felt like we were hanging by a thread. The Berlin blockade, the Cuban Missile Crisis. This wasn't theoretical anymore. It felt real.
The Cuban Missile Crisis, that was a close one, really shows how quickly things can go from bad to worse, how even the best plans can fall apart.
13 days in October 1962. The whole world watching, wondering if it was all about to end. Did those close calls change anything? Did we learn to be more careful, or did we just get used to living on the edge?
That's the question, isn't it?
It's like we learned to live with this, I don't know, this bomb just waiting to go off, always aware of it, trying to live our lives. Did it make us more careful, or did we just get numb to it all?
That's the big question. And it goes back to what we've been talking about this whole time, you know? Humans, we're capable of amazing things and terrible things. History repeats itself. And sometimes we gotta choose, adapt or die.
Like we're always at a fork in the road, gotta pick a direction. Do we make the same mistakes again, or do we find a new way? It's kind of exciting in a way, don't you think?
Totally. And that's what I find so cool about these sources. They don't just focus on the bad stuff, the threats. They also show how humans have stepped up, how resilient we can be when we have to be.
Yeah, like that Berlin airlift thing. Instead of fighting the Soviets, the US, and the Allies, they found a peaceful solution. Use their planes to bring supplies to that blockaded city. Shows that even in a Cold War, you can still cooperate, be smart, and not just, resort to violence.
Exactly. And it shows how important leadership is. People who, when things are falling apart, make choices that change everything. Think about Kennedy during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Everyone's telling him to attack the Soviets, but he doesn't. He chooses to talk, to negotiate. Could have been World War III, but he stopped it.
Shows that sometimes courage isn't about being tough, it's about knowing when to take a breath, find a different way.
And it's not just about individual leaders either. The sources also talk about how resilient entire societies can be. Like after the Black Death, that horrible plague in Europe killed millions. But even after all that death, people rebuilt, adapted, created new things, art, literature, even new ways of doing business.
It's kind of amazing. Even after something that awful, there's this, I don't know, this drive in us to keep going, to rebuild, to find something good in the wreckage. And it's not just ancient history. We see it all the time today. Communities coming together after disasters, people overcoming crazy obstacles, scientists and doctors working to fight diseases.
Right. And that's what makes these sources so interesting, I think. They remind us that, yeah, we've got big problems, climate change, pandemics, wars, but we also have this amazing ability to survive, to innovate, to learn from our mistakes, and build a better future.
It's hopeful, even with all the uncertainty. So to wrap things up, I want to leave you with something to think about. We've talked about all these pivotal moments, the Bronze Age collapse, the threat of nuclear war. What keeps you up at night? What's the biggest threat to our world today? And more importantly, what can we do, even in small ways, to make a difference?
And that's a question worth thinking about. And as always, thanks for joining us as we dive into these huge questions. Until next time.